broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good morning to you. It's a fabulous day in Hawaii. Now it's been a little bit cooler. We got some tee times, but it's going to be blustery. It's going to be a little wet. Partly sunny skies peeking out. We got highs about 85. The northeasterly winds 15 to 25. You could play around. It's also wet volcano. There's an 856. Makalei has a 1030. Poipu Bay, and we're giving rounds of golf away to Poipu Bay. There's a 9 o'clock here on Oahu at the Roa Hawaiian Country Club at 10:30. It's a big day in golf this weekend. The race to Dubai underway on the European Tour, where Patrick Reed is in a tie with Danny Willett, two Masters champions. Francisco Molinari could become the first Italian number one on the European Tour, and Henrik Stenson won the greatest shot on earth. Know all these names? Charles Howell III is in uncharted territory, leading the RSM Classic after two 64s. Cam Champ is chasing with a 68 and a 63. The Australian Open is being played. Abraham Anser leads with Keegan Bradley in third. Matt Kuchar in fifth through three rounds. And the race to the CME final. CME Group Tour Championship, hotly contested by, yes, five Americans holding the top spots, including Lexi Thompson, 12 under with Brittany Lincecum, and Amy Olsen just three strokes back. This is it. Will Lexi hold on? Will Aria win the race to the CME? We're going to talk with Ron Syrak after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots. Concrete colored floors and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA teaching professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Yes, and now Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, ronsyrak.com, special to the LPGA, and he's at Tiburon. They're on the Greg Norman course. I believe it's the gold course. It's a magnificent day, I'm sure, in Florida. But Ron Syrak, welcome into the clubhouse. Is it colder in Florida than usual?
Yeah, it is. It's a breezy day, and you know, feeling a little bit in short sleeves, it's feeling a little bit chilly out here. Scoring conditions are pretty tough. I don't think we're going to see quite the low rounds we had the first 2 days when we saw a 63, a 64, a 65. But there's a couple people putting some good numbers up out there, including Arya Jutanugarn, who just turned the front nine in 33 and is not only chasing down that $1 million, but she's now actually back in this tournament with a chance to win it.
Wow. Yes. This is so exciting, though. When I saw five flags, American flags, at the top of the leaderboard with two right behind, was it Carlotta Chaganda and from Thailand, Panarat Thanapolobonaris, and I probably destroyed her name. She was also, and Charlie Hull up there too. I thought, wow. And then there's more Americans. What is fueling this American strength in Florida?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because what's gone quietly under the radar this year is eight different Americans have won tournaments on the LPGA this season. That's the most by any country. Seven Koreans have won nine tournaments. Eight Americans have won eight tournaments. So the Americans have had a pretty good year that way. But I think what we're seeing is, well, first off, Lexi trying to get her legs back under her. You know, she took a month off in the middle of this season to try to regroup mentally out there. But in players like Amy Olsen and Marina Alex, fascinate me because they're old school players. They went to 4 years of college and they've sort of built their game up on the tour. And, you know, instead of coming out here at 18 and competing the way so many of these young talents do, they're finding their games at the age of 26 and 28, which is, as I said, that's the old school approach to playing pro golf.
Yeah, but it's when you do it that way, I imagine that there's a maturity that comes with having been on the course, having made mistakes, understanding yourself, getting to know the best shots that work for you in certain situations. So there is a strength in coming on old.
Yeah, you know, and you look at Amy Olsen, she has the NCAA record. She went to North Dakota State University, and she won 20 tournaments there, you know. So there's something to be said for learning how to win, and Amy's done that. And Marina was the same thing. She played at Vanderbilt, won tournaments there, figured out how to win. And then you come on tour, and you sort of build your way up slowly.
I got to tell you, I'm excited about Lexi Thompson, though. I you know, she came in the very new way. What was she, 16 or 17 when she became an actual LPGA member with an exemption into the tour because of her maturity?
Yeah, she was 12 years old when she qualified for the U.S. Women's Open, you know. And I was actually happy to see her take a month off in the middle of the season, because she's sort of articulated. She's lived her entire life in the golf bubble, you know. And I think that what she's doing now is trying to find happiness outside of that golf bubble. And one of the things she said after yesterday's round fascinated me. She said, you know, I'm at a point now where I realize no matter what I do, my family, my friends, and my fans are still going to support me. And that's a big thing, to not let your life get to the point where you're defining your happiness entirely in terms of what happens on the golf course. And I think after living her entire life completely, totally immersed in golf, she's trying to become more of a well-rounded person, and that's a really positive step.
Now, I don't know if I've just not been noticing, but I see a happy person with her brother on the bag for her. She's done a caddy change. I don't know if he's going to be permanent, but she's smiling. And this puppy, Leo.
Oh. The puppy's gone viral. We, Amy Rogers did an interview with Lexi yesterday and put video of it on the LPGA website. And boy, I'll tell you, you get a puppy into a video and people want to see it.
But he's adorable. That's, I mean, he's all fluffy and happy. And having him waiting at home, you know, regardless of the outcome of the day, that kind of energy and happiness, and then your brother's with you, this is a perfect way for her to come back and hopefully win for the first time this season. And that's very unusual for Lexi to have not won, it seems to me, in a season.
Yeah, she's won at least one tournament for five consecutive years. And you know, this year was, and if you look at it, this year actually started last year at this tournament for her. She had a very strong 2017 in which she made significant improvements in her putting, but she had a couple of curveballs thrown at her. There was the four-stroke penalty at the ANA Inspiration that cost her a major championship. Her mom had a bout with cancer. And then at the end of the year, after she had made such great improvement in her putting, she missed a 2-foot putt here on the final hole that cost her this tournament. And that whole hangover seemed to carry over into 2017, never got her feet underneath her. As I said, took a month off in the middle of the season and skipped a major championship, the Women's British, to try to regroup. And now does seem to be out here refreshed and happy. And I think that's going to translate into success for her.
This is Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor and special to LPGA, author of the Vision 54 trilogy. Play your best golf now, the game before the game, and every shot must have a purpose. And that was published in 8 languages. Truly, watching her being happy, I hear so much on Golf Channel and just in lots of different venues talking about whether or not she has recovered. Is this, you know, having that missed 2-foot putt in the back of her mind? Oh, you know, will it haunt her during this? Doesn't seem like anything's haunting her right now. Do you think at the end, though, could it come back and bite her?
Well, you never know when those sorts of things are going to come. But I do really think, from everything that I've heard from people in the position to know, the whole thing that happened with her in the 2017 ANA with the 4-stroke penalty and everything, she handled it so well at the time. But I think as time went on, as weeks passed and months passed, it haunted her more, because she started to comprehend more how much it really cost her. You know, it cost her 2 Hall of Fame points, because it cost her a major championship, and she would have been Player of the Year if she had won that tournament. And I think the more time that went on, the more it bothered her, and the more she felt that there was an injustice there. And And then it was capped off by that missed two-footer last year. It all put her into a very bad frame of mind coming into the 2018 season.
Yeah, and I actually, like Aria, I have absolute faith in Lexi being able to just put that behind her and just having a very great tournament. Aria Jutanugarn had a terrible moment at the ANA when she just was in the lead and just lost it. It took her a while to come back. I think that one did haunt her for a while. But I look at this. She won three times this year. And it doesn't seem like she dominated to the point where she's number one player in the world, number one official money, number one putts per greens in regulation, number one scoring average, number one rounds under par, number one birdies, rounds in the 60s. What else? I mean, it seems like she's won everything that can be won already, except I wonder, the money, can she still win if she doesn't win the money here at the CME Tour Championship?
Yeah, she's right now projected to win the $1 million bonus. She's going to win the Vera Trophy for lowest scoring average. So it's looking very much like she's going to have a complete sweep of every major award. I have a bias here, but the work that Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott have done with her in rebuilding her after what happened to her at the ANA Championship in 2 years ago, and then what happened at the U.S. Women's Open this year, where she had a seven-stroke lead with nine holes to play, had to go to a playoff to win, and Aria gave one of my favorite quotes of the year, which was at the KPMG, the next major after the U.S. Open, she was asked, how are you going to put that, what happened to you with the U.S. Women's Open behind you? And she said, well, the way I look at it, if I had won by five strokes, I wouldn't have learned anything.
Oh,
but
wow.
I learned a lot about myself that day. That's hearing P and Lynn's voice in your head right there.
That's beautiful. No, and people often see her smile before she actually sets herself up for her shot. And that's part of their teaching, you know, happy about the moment that you're in.
Absolutely. And you want to hear something, Daniel, the technical improvements in Aria's game this year are astounding, particularly her short game. Her chipping and bunker play and putting is phenomenal, but it's really her heart and her head that has gone to another level. She was asked earlier this week in the press conference, what's your favorite memory of the year? And she said, well, my sister won.
Yes.
And then started to cry.
Oh, yes.
And then they were asked, what's your goal in golf? She says, I want to be a happy golfer, and I want to inspire the children of Thailand. When you're playing with those sorts of goals, you know, that are bigger than yourself, that's really a special thing. And she's a shy person by nature, not really comfortable being in the spotlight. And the first time she became number one in the world ranking, June of 2017, she then missed five cuts in a row right after that. But this year, now she's number one, and she's ready to be number one. And as I said, her emotional growth this year and her just genuine goodness is really shining through.
That's amazing. It's beautiful. And everybody, I think, got chicken skin or goosebumps when at that moment, if they heard the two of the sisters sitting next to each other and Aria say that, because that was extremely touching. When you talk about playing for something bigger than yourself, you know, inside, because it's coming from the inside, you want to do this. There's another pressure when you're playing for something bigger than yourself, and that's the expectations of people in your country. And that's something I think the South Koreans have to deal with when, for instance, they were playing in South Korea during the International Crown and having their countrymen expect them to be the winners because they're South Korean. They better win. There's a lot of pressure. And the transition, Louise Suggs, Rolex Rookie of the Year, Jin Yong-ko, she presented her address to the audience when she accepted the award in English. Tell us about that.
I could not have been more blown away. She had her speech was phenomenal, was absolutely phenomenal, and And I had no idea that she had that facility with the language that she did. It must be just a lot of memorization. But it hit everything. It was thoughtful. It was thankful. That was a goosebump moment of the evening, really. And there were many, many goosebump moments in there. I mean, having the Cordis sisters, having the Jutanagarn sisters. But Jin Young Ko really stole the show with a remarkable, remarkable speech.
Yeah, and the effort that goes into it, and then standing up in front of a crowd speaking in another language, hoping that, you don't make a mistake. I read a quote from J. Marie Greene, and she said, when this tour wasn't as global, getting a win would have been amazing. But now, if you win, that's something to be really proud of. As a competitor, that's what you want. You don't want to just play against Americans. You want to play against the best in the world. And that's what our tour has.
There have been 25 different winners this year from 10 different countries. And the five majors were won by players from five different countries. So that really shows you the depth and breadth of talent out here right now. And to me, that's what's remarkable about what Jutanagarn's doing, which is she has a chance probably to be the first dominant player since Inbee Park 5 years ago when she won three major championships. There's so much talent out there right now. It is so hard to win a tournament, but Aria does seem to be in a position where she's raising her game to another level and may be in a position to be poised for a really big year in 2019.
If she sweeps, as the projections say she will, all of the awards, isn't this a first?
We haven't had the million-dollar bonus hasn't been around all that long. I do remember that Stacey Lewis was Player of the Year in Bear Trophy in the same season, probably had the money title that year, too. And the $1 million has been won twice by Lydia Ko, once by Lexi, and once by Aria. So this would be the first time that anybody's swept all of that.
Yeah, and plus there's the inaugural Rolex Annika Major Award for the person who does best in
that's
all five,
correct.
Right? So there's another award that's it's brand new, too. In the address by the commissioner, the LPGA commissioner, his annual State of the LPGA, he was talking about how global the LPGA is and how he would expect in 10 years the PGA Tour to look much like the LPGA looks. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Wan's done, and it started with Ty Botaw when he was commissioner, who started really to expand the borders of the LPGA. But Mike Wan has really embraced its global business model and realized all the strengths for it. And I think there's 27 different nations that are represented on the tour right now. It's now televised in over 100 countries. And its global outreach is absolutely phenomenal. The other great line that Commissioner Wan had that I loved, he says, talking about the diversity of tour, he says, we've got players in our tour who are mothers, and we got players on our tour who are still living with their mothers. And that's true.
That's beautiful. Ron Syrak, thank you so much. A real pleasure talking with you. And I'll be following you on Twitter at Ron Syrak, of course, and go to lpga.com, and you can see all the postings. Ron Syrak writes beautifully, and it's all there at lpga.com, so you can see it, and lots of videos, lots of updates. Amy Rogers does a really good job, and it's great to see the two of you together doing the updates every beginning of the round update. It's a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back and talk to our Mary B. Porter King, who is going to be the captain of the Junior Solheim Cup. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
I want you to join the Golf Club Listeners Tour. The Golf Club's September 19th, 2019 week-long tour presented by Fairways and Fundays, the UK's 2017 award-winning Ireland's Best Inbound Premier Golf Tours. That is the UK's 2016, 17, and 18 award-winning Ireland's Best Inbound Premier Golf Tours. Your VIP tour includes golf at some of Ireland's top courses and resorts, including the K Club, the best golf in Ireland with your personal caddy at Ballybunion and Waterville, traveling in luxury vans, fine Irish dining, and the pubs and the famous pub lunches are all yours. Breakfast fit for champions as well. You can tour the towns, the shops, the castles, and the places that make an Irish golf getaway a life adventure. Visit our website, radiogolfclub.com. Find out more about the Golf Club September Golf Getaway with Fairways and Fundays.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Mary B. Porter King, PGA of America, First Lady of Golf, founder of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, former LPGA Tour player, official at dozens of major championships, men's and women's opens, PGA championships, the Masters, former board member of the PGA of America and the USGA. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mary B.
Good morning, Danielle. I'm exhausted already.
You're such a busy lady. And, you know, the holidays are upon us. And I was wondering, you were also on the advisory board of Scooter Pines Holdings, and they have the Bogey Baltons Night Before Christmas. I thought, oh, that's right. There's that whole series. We should get that.
We should get that. We should. Dottie Pepper is the author of those books, and they're wonderful for children. Great Christmas gift.
Exactly.
And get Dottie on your show.
Yes, I would love to. Well, give me her phone number. Okay? That would be nice. So, you know, when I saw this headline, Mary B. Porter King will captain the U.S. team at the 2019 matches in Glen Eagles, Scotland. I thought, I can't think of a better person to do that. The Junior Solheim Cup, fabulous. How did you find out?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm still a little bit in shock. I saw that I had a call from John Solheim, who is the president of Ping, and we missed calls, and we missed calls a couple times, called back, and then he finally called me, and his wife, Sunny, was in the room, and she said, John, just tell her what you want. Don't make her guess. Well, I can tell you that I could have guessed for a week and never guessed what he was going to say. It was nothing ever on my radar, nothing I ever dreamed of. So I am just so honored beyond words, to tell you the truth, to have this opportunity to be with these young people and hopefully lead them to victory.
Yes.
Lead them to victory.
In Glen Eagles, Scotland. I mean, what an amazing... How are the kids picked? How are the juniors picked?
The first 10 are picked from... are selected from the AJGA list that they have. They keep a master list, and then they apparently there's two captains picks. You probably know more about it than I do at this point, but what I'm going to try to look for, I head out to the coaches convention next week in Las Vegas, so there'll be over 200 coaches there, and they're kind of the eyes and ears on the ground that are looking for talent that might not be, you know, playing AJG or have the money to do that.
Oh,
so
yes.
I'm going to be looking for some young ladies that may not have that opportunity but have the talent. So just for instance, a Malia Nam or a Marielle Galeano would have been perfect selections. Miki Uyoka, kids that came out of Hawaii would have been a perfect selection for this, that didn't have the wherewithal and the money, the family money to travel all over the United States to be recognized by AJGA. So hopefully I can find two young ladies somewhere in the United States, maybe Hawaii, that and give them this opportunity to play.
Wow. I didn't know you had two captain's picks. That's exciting. And a lot of responsibility, and there's a lot of possibilities. And the names, you know, Marielle and Malia would have been wonderful, but they've aged out. You have to be under 17?
Actually, yes, because they've moved it a little later this year. It's in November, so most universities, it's 14 to 18, but most young ladies will have either started college by then. If they've started college, then they're aged out. So it can't be someone that just started their freshman year, unless school hasn't started. So if school hasn't started, they would be eligible.
Yeah, aged out sounds strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, at 18. I'm aging out of a lot of things, but I'm not 18, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is wonderful. When you brought up finding someone who can't afford the travel that, you know, AJGA requires, you have to be able to travel. The first thing I thought of, Camp Champ is one of those kids who started first tee, but he didn't have the money to do all the traveling, and then somebody spotted him, and they gave him a leg up. And look where he is now. It's sometimes you just need one of those leg ups, and that would be fabulous.
Exactly,
thing.
Exactly. And he, you know, he played in the Walker Cup last year too, and he just needed that opportunity, and that's what the USGA does as well. Their selection committee is looking for that young person in both the Curtis Cup and Walker Cup that might not be playing all the tournaments and have that money. So Ryan Moore was one of them when I was on that selection committee that we selected, because his father didn't have the money at that time to play all of that, and look where he turned out.
Exactly.
He did pretty well.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
You have some experience, though, in these big junior events. Weren't you assistant captain for the Junior Ryder Cup?
I was, thanks to Brian Whitcomb, who's past president and dear friend and a fellow ASU alumni. That was quite a thrill. And those young people have just turned out to be remarkable players and still in college and doing so well. So it's, to me, it keeps me connected with that next generation and to see where they are. And I will never be able to thank the Solheim family for all they've done for me in my career, because they were, Carson and Louise sponsored me when I first started the tour. My sponsor passed away suddenly of a heart attack, and my family didn't have money to fund me. So Carson Louise called me and asked if they could help, and they sponsored me my first 2 years on tour till I could start trying to pay them back. So, it's just, that family, what they do for the game of golf, no one will ever really know what they do and what they get back. But they are one of the most remarkable and giving families that I've ever met.
And manufacturers of golf equipment. I mean, the Ping line is fabulous.
It is a wonderful line. It's they've been innovators and leaders of the industry for years. Carson was, they're all brilliant. John is brilliant as well. There were three boys and a daughter, and all involved in the company, and have continued. And it's a privately held company, which is really nice, still family owned. And they really look after their own, and they take care of our military. I can't begin to tell you what they do for our military and those that need equipment. The numbers, I can't even begin to tell you. It's beyond words, more than anyone else would ever think.
Well, that, I'm glad you're bringing that up, because a lot of times people who do so much don't get the recognition. You don't realize what's being done. Sometimes you don't even know that you could do something to help in the process, because they're being so quiet and doing it on their own. You know, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. No, from what I've heard and what they give to the military and those that have been wounded, and they've adapted their equipment for their disabilities, and it's crazy what they do. And then they're involved in the college programs to where they remember the fallen. If you've seen their camo bags and different things that they put out there, but they do it all very quietly. And they don't do it for recognition. They do it because it's the right thing to do. And that's who they are. That's just who they are.
It's beautiful. Well, I'm so tempted. During a qualifying tournament, we have to talk about Mary B. We just do, okay? Because a lot of people don't know this. You know, Mary B., during a qualifying tournament in Phoenix, it was the Standard Register Turquoise Classic. She was looking for her ball. It had gone astray. As those golf balls are wont to do, it was along a fence, and she noticed a man jumping into a pool of water. You were perplexed by that, and then you saw the boy.
I was perplexed till I saw his son floating face down in the pool, and then I knew that I had to do something. And long story. We don't have time unless you have a 5-hour show. Mm. But anyway, my caddy managed to throw me over the fence, and his father handed me his lifeless son with no heartbeat, signs of life. He had been floating for a while. Anyway, I, through the grace of God, I can tell you, because he looked just like my son. So I was doing everything I could to bring life back into this little boy. But I managed to, and I will tell you that my two other players and their caddies remained at the green for the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And then two groups played through me. And I'll only tell you one person who stopped to help, and that was Meg Mallon.
Oh,
and
wow.
Meg used to babysit for my son, and she was babysitting for him the next week because she wasn't in the next week's tournament. So anyway, I say it wasn't because I was talented, that's for sure, but I managed to save him. And he is now the father of three, it was the worst, best shot I've ever hit in my life. I snap hooked it far left of my target. But if I do nothing else in golf, I'm happy that I was there at the right time.
At the right time. And what I thought was also beautiful about this story is, you know, when you saw his picture the next day, or you saw him and he was no longer ashen gray.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been, bringing you back to the, you were still in the tournament. That's something else. When I was reading the article, you didn't qualify. You shot a 76, but 30 professionals protested and the commissioner gave you an exemption?
Right. I think I shot 73, but was my memory. That's okay. I missed it by one. 72 qualified, and I missed it by one. I bogeyed that hole, when I arrived at the tournament in Tucson, which is where I was playing that next week, Alice Bauer, who was one of the founding members of the LPGA, Marlene Hagee's sister, had handwritten a petition to allow me to be the 145th player in the field.
Wow.
And everyone signed it along with John Loppheimer. I became the 145th player in the field the next week, so I did qualify.
You did qualify. Yes, I was reading an article that when I'm looking up. But then you became the first recipient. An award is named after Mary B. Porter.
I did. A gentleman by the name of Gordon White, who used to write for the New York Times, who has passed now, called me, and this was right after Greg Norman had an incident with a little boy with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Jamie Hutton, back in 1988. And he called me in to invite me to the Metropolitan Golf Writers Dinner so he could honor me and Greg Norman. And I said, oh boy, I'd be honored to be there. Sure, I'll be there. And so then he said, but I need your permission. And I said, permission for what? And he said, we want to name the award for you. So I go back to New York annually when the award's given, but it has been given almost every year since 88. And the stories that have been told, and to give someone who's done something either heroic or humanitarian, have been one of the highlights of my life. So as I saw Jim Nantz recently, Jim, gave me a big hug, and because he was always the MC, and he said, Mary B., that was my favorite award of the evening. It's just, the best. So, anyway.
That leads me to my next question. I saw that, I think, 2018's award went to Morgan Hoffman.
Yes, he was, and unfortunately I didn't make it, and he did receive the award. And unfortunately, I didn't make it. Sometimes they don't let me know in time. And it was very unfortunate I couldn't get in there. So
yeah. I didn't know what his story was, so I was going to ask you.
He's been very, very ill, and I guess he's come back from and trying to make a comeback from an illness that has been very severe.
And therefore the award. That's wonderful. I'm just really excited that you're going to be Mary B. Porter King, PGA America First, that is PGA of America, First Lady of Golf, founder of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, and former LPGA Tour player. And the list is really amazing. What you have done for golf is amazing. And how was your gathering, the ASU alumni party?
Checking on me, huh? That was great. It was a great weekend. And Phil Mickelson, as you know, is a fellow Sun Devil and has been working tirelessly on a short game practice area for our ASU teams, men and women. And they built this amazing clubhouse just for the team members.
Wow.
With their own locker rooms and restrooms and workout room, sitting out on the lanai. it's crazy. And I think he created 26 or 29 targets, a lot of wedge practice. But then he built all these other green complexes with different grasses, different length of grasses, different sands, different green speeds. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. If these kids don't play better golf, then something's wrong with them. But
if you're on the edge about which school you should go to.
Yeah, exactly. Malia Nam was headed there, and I think she's probably ended up in a great place, but I'm sorry she didn't make it. But
She's over at that rival university there in California.
Exactly.
Yes.
Another Pac-12 school. So anyway, but I'll tell you, if you're dreaming of playing golf and having an opportunity, and that their practice facility and their clubhouse just for the players is crazy. It's wonderful.
So did Phil talk much about the match with Tiger?
He did. I kind of cornered him on that. it was funny because his brother Tim's a good friend of mine, and I knew Tim was headed up there to start taking yardages and stuff. And I was asking Phil about, because he was talking to the kids a lot about playing and different strategies and different things, and I asked him about match play, and I said, you have a kind of an important match coming up. He said, well, yeah, I do, but I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to probably be more entertaining than anything, but as you know, they're both highly competitive and want to beat each other.
Absolutely.
And Phil's strategy is he's going to be talking smack to them pretty soon. There's going to be a lot of smack out there, and the caddies are wired up, too. Tim's got a great sense of humor, so I think it's going to be worth watching, and Phil, pretty sure, he said that, well, it's supposed to, he said, we're playing 18 holes. We both play pretty fast, but it won't be that long because we'll end early. So.
We'll end early.
Yeah. I don't think Tiger's listening, so we're okay. So
we're going to put our 1999 down and watch some really interesting golf talk.
I think so. I think you're going to watch some. Yeah, and they've got androids, or is that what they're called? The Flying Sky. They've got drones all over, and I mean, you're gonna, and I say they're wired, the whole thing, so you won't miss a shot. And then the other thing, which is really nice, the charitable part of it is they have $1 million that they can bet against each other, so that if they've got, you know, a buried shot in the bunker, Phil can bet Tiger, you can't get this up and down, I'll bet you $50,000. And he can accept the challenge, and that money, that $1 million, goes to their selected charities. And I think Phil's is the charity to support the people that were murdered in Las Vegas last year.
Oh, wonderful.
And, yeah, which is really nice. So,
yeah.
And then Tigers is to his foundation.
His foundation, yes.
Yeah.
It's all for good.
Yeah, it's all for good. So it should be entertaining.
Yes, Mary B. Porter King is PGA of America, First Lady of Golf, and Mary B. Porter King is the captain of the U.S. team at the 2019 matches, the Junior Solheim Cup matches in Glen Eagle, Scotland. Can't wait. Wish I were there. Can I be an assistant to the assistant to the assistant? I'll run and get coffee or something.
Coffee's good. It'll probably be cool. Come on over.
Thank you, Mary V.
Thanks, Danielle. You have a wonderful weekend.
You too. We're going to come back and talk with Alex Urban about the Century Tournament of Champions right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futuristone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futuristone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futuristone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futuristone, only the best.
Join our The Golf Club Listeners Tour. The Golf Club September 19th, 2019 week-long tour presented by Fairways and Fundays. The UK's 2016, 2017, 2018 award-winning Ireland's Best Inbound Premier Golf Tours. Your VIP tour includes golf at some of Ireland's top courses and resorts, including the K Club, and best golf in Ireland with your personal caddy at Ballybunion and Waterville, among many other courses we'll be playing, traveling in luxury vans with fine Irish dining and those famous pub lunches and those breakfasts fit for champions. Tour the towns, the shops, the castles, and the places that make an Irish golf getaway a life adventure. Visit our site. It's radiogolfclub.com. Find out more about the Golf Club's September golf getaway with Fairways and Fundays.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing.
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
It's going to be breezy today, a little windy and wet across most of the island chain. But if you're at Wailea, the Emerald Course has a tee time at 10:48. The Shane Victorino tournament is underway. Gold Course, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And Kapalua on the Plantation Course, we've got several openings for you to go play out at 10:30, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Go have some fun and know that you're playing the golf course getting ready for the Century Tournament of Champions, the winner's only tournament. And Alex Urban is the general manager, Century Tournament of Champions at the PGA Tour. And he's with us this morning to talk more about Century. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning. How are you, Danielle?
Excellent. And I know you're having a fabulous day. It's getting closer. What is your sign on your office say? Are we down to?
we're down below 45 days. We're really starting to get close. And at this point, it's a whole long year of planning, but we're able to cross a lot of T's and dot some I's right now in the lead up.
Oh yeah. You know, I opened my show with all the people who are playing golf today, around the world. You know, we've got Keegan Bradley and Matt Kuchar playing in Australia. We got Molinari playing, of course, in Dubai. It's the race to Dubai. It's the finale on the European Tour. Mm-hmm. And we've got, of course, our tour playing. Cam Champ is chasing, hoping to take the lead away from, it's Patrick Reed is leading, and he's in a tie right now with his name just went right out of my head. The bottom line is
Yeah, Pat, I think that's in Europe.
Yes.
Patrick Reed's playing with Danny Willett, and then I think Charles Howell III is leading the RSM Classic.
Yes. So if Charles Howell III wins, he will come to the Tournament of Champions, the Century Tournament of Champions. And the names that we have coming and the people who have committed, including Francesco Molinari, it's on his website. He's committed to coming. It makes it really exciting because so many Europeans. Ian Poulter. Yes.
We've got a really nice, I think that's a great point. It's a lot of the Europeans, which as you're well aware, and as we're talking about right now, their schedule is always a little crazy because this time of year, they're playing a lot of really meaningful and important golf when a lot of the U.S. Tour guys are kind of in the middle of a break or just about to start a 6-week break. So we've got Francesco Molinari and Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter, Justin Rose. All those guys have committed to the tournament, and I think that says a lot about the Century Tournament champions.
Absolutely. This is wonderful. So many times they've had to say, no, it's just too much, or we need to take this time off so we can get ready for the next thing. And coming to Hawaii, it's halfway around the world. It is. Look at a globe.
Right, yeah.
We're on the other
not
side.
Not a quick trip from Europe. That's
no.
True.
That is true. And then we have, Dustin Johnson, Patton Kizzire, John Rahm, Bubba Watson, Justin Thomas, Paul Casey. I haven't
Jason
heard.
Day.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge, huge field. But what we need, of course, to make all of this perfect for them is we need some drivers, we need some marshals, and we need something that's really exciting. You want to take part in the Shot Link.
Yeah, so we're still looking for volunteers, as I think we talked about last week, and that's always something that's important to us. And really, the big one is the first one you said. We're looking for more drivers and for our shuttles for any number of things you can imagine. At a property in a course like Plantation Course, having shuttle drivers is a big deal. And for example, one of the things we're doing this year for the first time is all of our clubhouse ticket holders. When you get to the main entrance, which is down by the second hole, essentially down kind of near the bottom of the hill, if you have a clubhouse ticket, you can hop in a shuttle and get dropped off right by the clubhouse. That's a benefit we're working on for them. But you have to have shuttle drivers to be able to do that. So we're still looking to fill that committee. It's that's a fun one. Really love all of our volunteer chair people are outstanding, and we actually got together last night and talked a little bit about some planning, and it was fantastic. So we're looking for more drivers, absolutely. But also, ShotLink operator, we still have a couple of spots in that one. If you're sitting at home and you pull up the PGA Tour app or go to pgatour.com, you can always see the exact location of where a golf ball is at any given moment because of ShotLink. And it takes volunteers that actually plot the positions of those golf balls, and you can operate lasers and that's what in real time that information goes back to the PGA Tour's website, and that's how you can tell that a shot directly after it's hit is 167 yards exactly from the flag stick. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, and it's what a lot of the guys use for their stats to figure out what they're doing in their game, what they need to work on in the off season, whatever that happens to be for them. The tournament that we're talking about is the Century Tournament of Champions. It's on Maui, first week in January. It has generated more than $6.3 million for community charities since 1999. The charities range from youth after-school programs, elderly care facilities, environmental and wildlife protection groups, sharing their aloha by being there during that week. And they need, like, if you do five shifts, you get a cap and a visor, a uniform shirt, two of them, you get a hip pack, you get a volunteer lot parking pass, of course carpooling's encouraged, you get a weekly grounds pass to the tournament, coffee, breakfast, snacks on days you work as a volunteer, and complimentary lunch on days you work as a volunteer, and one certificate for a round of golf at the Bay Course. That's fantastic. Okay. If you are a new volunteer, there is a volunteer appreciation party on January 5th. Is this just for new or for everybody?
It'll be for all. It'll be for all the volunteers. So that's we're excited about that. It's the first time we're going to host a little volunteer party on that Saturday after play. I think it should be a lot of fun. We're going to raffle off a few tournament items, that sort of thing. And just really, it'll be nice to get everyone together because, you know, we say this a lot, but it's, you can't host a PGA Tour event without the volunteer force. And so making sure that everyone understands that how important their role is at the tournament is at the forefront of what, you know, what's important to us.
What is the new volunteer referral program?
Yeah, so the way that works is it creates a little competition to refer your friends and people you know or even people you might not know to be a volunteer at the tournament. And basically the way that works is the person that recruits the most volunteers, and there's some guidelines in there on number of shifts and all that, but essentially the person that recruits the most volunteers will get a nice little gift from the tournament.
Wow. Is it the Greg Norman jacket?
Yeah, it's a great jacket. It's we actually got it into our office. It's a really nice jacket.
Yes, it's a Greg Norman jacket.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the returning volunteer, this is for 2017 and 2018 volunteers who refer the most volunteers in for this year win the exclusive tournament gift package, and that will be awarded at the Volunteer Appreciation Party on Saturday, January 5th. So I know you volunteers are competitors because you love the game of golf and you compete all the time. So you'll want to compete for that jacket, okay? When it comes to marshals, what do marshals do?
Yeah, marshals are really important, and that's another thing. You know, we've got this amazing field that you and I have been talking about, and with that, it becomes more fans, which is a great thing for the tournament. But obviously, the marshal force needs to grow as well as that number of fans grows. And what the marshals do is keep order out on the golf course, make sure everything moves correctly. The people move in between holes at the right time and people are crossing the fairways at the right moment so that nobody is impacting the play on the golf course. We're making sure people stay quiet for tee shots or shots that are hitting your fans. That's an extremely important committee in terms of making sure everything runs smoothly and making sure that, the guys inside the ropes are able to do what they do so well and make sure that the fans can get around the golf course to see them.
Absolutely. So we need marshals, we need drivers, and there's a few more shot link spots open. So that would be so much fun. You're inside the ropes with the players, or you're protecting the players around the ropes. So it's a lot of fun, and you can be driving people to get to where they need to go. And the inside the ropes package, are those still open with this Aloha Club Skybox?
Yeah, so actually we're pretty close to being sold out on both of those, which is great. We've got some fantastic interest in the event. If that's something you're interested in, I absolutely think you should go to CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com, which is actually also where you go to register to be a volunteer. So CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com can really be your hub for everything from the tournament. Those packages are starting to fill up. So head there and see what's available, and you can always email and call our team. I believe our numbers and emails are on there.
Excellent. I thank you very much, Alex Urban. We'll talk next week. Alex is the general manager, Century Tournament of Champions, and go to Century Tournament. How do you say Century? For
CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Good.
Very easy. Just the tournament name.
Just the whole name. Put it in .com. Boom. You're there. And you can sign up. And you register to sign up. And you can figure out what the pricing is for the tickets. Lots of opportunities. Lots of different levels. Go for it. Thanks for being on the show, Alex. Aloha.
Thank you. Always appreciate you having me, Danielle. Mahalo.
We're going to come back. David McKenzie. Yes, we're going to get some mental tips for this game that can be so mental or make you mental. Right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
You're at experts on call.
Join our The Golf Club Listeners Tour. The Golf Club September 19th, 2019, week-long tour presented by Fairways and Fundays, the UK's 2016, 2017, 2018 award-winning Ireland's Best Inbound Premier Golf Tours. Your VIP tour includes golf at some of Ireland's top courses and resorts, including the K Club, the best golf in Ireland with your personal caddy at Ballybunion and the majestic Waterville, traveling in luxury vans, eating fine dining Irish style pubs. Okay, the famous pub lunches, you must have heard about them. And breakfast, of course, fit for champions. You can tour the town, the shops, the castles, and the places that make an Irish golf getaway a life adventure. Visit our website, radiogolfclub.com. Find out more about the Golf Club September Golf Getaway with Fairways and Fun Days.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
David McKenzie, he is the creator of Golf State of Mind, golfstateofmind.com. He's got a master's from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland, so you think he knows a little bit about golf, I should say. Welcome into the clubhouse, David.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Golf State of Mind, when I said golf can make you mental, in Hawaii that means a little crazy. So the seven most important mental skills for golf is something all of us definitely need to pay attention to. And I just saw your release, David McKenzie. When you go to his website, golfstateofmind.com, you can sign up for his newsletters or information posts, and then you can get in touch with him. And he always has something great. And I love these seven most important mental skills for golf. Should we start with the ability to focus?
Yes, let's do that. And I should say that, you know, these are all skills that you can develop with each round that you play. You know, it's not that the best players in the world are just kind of, you know, born with a great mental game and the ability to be able to, you know, keep it all together when they're under pressure and focus and do all the things they need to be doing. It's something we can get better at, and it's not really talked about a whole lot in golf. You know, it's all about the swing and perfecting your swing mechanics and the latest equipment and things like that. But the mental side is something that you can just get better at. And in fact, I have a mental game scorecard, which you can download from my website, golfstateofmind.com. And that kind of keeps you, or holds you accountable to these things that we're going to discuss now. But yes, the ability to focus, obviously, you know, very, very important. I think focus is getting harder and harder in the world that we live in today with, notifications and, you know, smartphones and information coming at us from all over the place and social media. But it's actually really being, you know, being able to stay present and focus on what you need to do is becoming harder and harder.
But I like what you say about going through your full routine of visualizing and committing to every shot in the newsletter, not maximizing your chances of success if you haven't gone through that process.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, one of the skills that I've got on that list there is commitment and having clear intent. And I think that's one thing that your weekend player could do a lot better at is knowing exactly what they're intending to do. And not just with the shot, but how they're intending to do through their routine as well. So how do you intend to walk into the ball? Are you going to walk into the ball with confidence and positive body language? You know, how do you want to feel over the ball, and what are the things that you, that you want to make sure that you're focusing on when you're over the ball, you know, being present, focusing on grip pressure and, you know, your senses when you're over the ball. And I think that, you know, what most golfers fall into the trap of is this kind of how they approach the next shot depends on how well the last shot went. You know, because they're feeling differently. If it, you know, could be that they're feeling more confident because they've hit a great shot, or it could be that they're, you know, they're feeling less confident because they've hit not such a good shot. And so we're always kind of in the past or future. And so, yeah, knowing exactly what you want to be doing throughout the routine and being as present as you can is something that we can all do better at.
For the very beginning golfer, you know, people who are just getting into the game and learning the game, this may be a, you know, dumb question, but are there dumb questions? How does so much of our mind is all about how do I do this? What am I doing now? What do you suggest to the newcomer to the game?
Well, I think the newcomer, you know, can start with the mental game, you know, in just the same way that more advanced players, you know, are looking into the mental game. I think that's one of the myths is that, you know, I'm not ready for the mental game yet. I haven't got my technique down. You know, that's for the elite players. But, you know, being able to develop those skills of patience and acceptance and, you know, being in your routine and being able to stay present, you know, you might have certain things in your swing that you're focusing on as part of your routine. You know, I wouldn't want, you know, any player to kind of chop and change what those things are that they're focusing on during their swing. You know, for the beginner, you know, let's set these mental goals from the beginning and get into that. It's all about forming good habits. So if you're able to do that from the beginning, then you're increasing your chances of long-term success.
I like that. Before I continue, KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. So it's perfect. What you're saying, you know, when you said that it's not for somebody who's already got it all down that you start working on your mental game. When you talk about staying present, when you're in the present, what you just don't pay attention to what happened before or what's going to happen next. You're just going to have right now. I'm going to not think about whether people are looking at me. I'm going to just be in the moment. I'm going to hold the club and I'm going to swing the club.
Exactly. I mean, your connection with the shot and your senses, when you're doing that, when you're paying it, when you're in the present, you're paying attention to your senses and your mind is quiet. That gives you a better chance of accessing your best skills, a better chance of fluid motion during your swing. You know, you think of other sports where you're just reacting to what's happening in the game, where the ball's moving, like tennis or soccer or, you know, football. You know, you don't have the time to think. You're in the present. And so, you know, athletic movement is somewhat easier. Whereas in golf, you've got that time where, you know, you're approaching the ball, you're over the ball. You know, your mind can go in any number of different places. But I think that, you know, back to staying in the present, we're always kind of equating results and the success of the shot with our happiness, you know, in the game. You know, if we shoot a low score, then we're going to be happy. And so, you know, that kind of takes us into the future and away from that present moment of just enjoying the golf shot and not thinking about so much about what the future benefit of that shot is going to be for you in the future. And I think that's a much easier way to kind of just keep your mind quiet. Not an easy concept to get your head around because, of course, we all want to play well. We all want to, you know, have those great scores. But I think you increase your chances of doing that if you can kind of detach yourself a bit from the outcome and be more in the present.
That goes to number four on the seven most important mental skills for golf, and that's acceptance. You have to accept what you've been given.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's a game of mistakes. You know, you only have to look at the tour players and, you know, albeit we see most of the good things that are happening on the tour, but, you know, they have a dispersion to every shot and they make mistakes and they have, you know, inconsistency in their scores. You know, so having that sort of growth mindset, Carol Dweck, the Stanford professor who came up with the growth mindset and this idea of just like being able to learn from everything, not being so fixated on the outcome and the result of what just happened. But we have every mistake that you make on the golf course is a learning opportunity. Again, you know, it's of course it's frustrating and it's disappointing to hit shots that you're not happy with. But if we can quickly look at that from that other perspective, not like, you know, I suck or, you know, I'm terrible. But you know, what can I learn from that shot?
Yes, absolutely.
No, maybe it's easier to accept it.
Yes, exactly. That's perfect. Well, sometimes I watch, when you talk about watching, we usually see the good things in golf. We also see people emoting a lot. One of our top players is having one of those emoting periods in his life, and he can't seem to get the shot right, and it's very frustrating because he's had such a great couple of years. And then there are the guys, you see, the ball bounces odd, which can happen to anybody. You know, that's something that you didn't do. It hit a little pebble and went bing, and they just sort of look at it like, okay, next. And it's an interesting expression on the face of some of the elite players as they watch golf happen to them when they're playing golf, and they have so much control. Imagine, that's kind of what we need to do. Just accept what has come to you and then smile and move along. And that's number five, attitude and mindset.
Yeah, so that's kind of following up on what I was saying about the fixed mindset. The growth mindset, and being able to just, you know, grow as a player with each round, as opposed to looking at each round defining how good you are. But just having an attitude of gratitude is always a great thing in golf, because I think that too many golfers finish a round and they've spent, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, you know, including travel and what have you. And, you know, to come away feeling disappointed, you know, it's kind of, I know for competitive golfers, you know, they want to do well, but, you know, find ways to be able to put it in perspective and enjoy it and have a good attitude. You know, I am on the golf course. I'm not in the office. I am not, you know, doing something that, you know, I don't want to do, or, you know, if you put it in perspective, there are far worse things than you could be doing than playing golf. So just kind of having that appreciation, I think, is what I meant there by attitude and the attitude of gratitude that, you know, wow, this is great. I'm outside, I'm playing a beautiful golf course, you know, and just try to be, again, a bit more in the moment, as opposed to thinking about, oh, the shots you missed, or, you know, what might happen if you get up and down with the next shot, and, you know, what scores are, you know, possible. And so that's what I think I meant by that one.
Yes.
Attitude and mindset.
Well, I love what you wrote, how you talk and encourage yourself, how strong your body language is, whether you persevere in the face of adversity, and how you respond to challengers are all things that the best players in the world do very well. And there's no reason why we can't either, even though our games may not be that hot. Because, as you said, we're out there to have some time off. This is supposed to be fun, people, not torture.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, these lessons are really important for juniors as well. And I think one of the reasons that we love golf is that it does kind of mirror life in so many ways. You know, you get the ups, the downs, the heart, you know, the joy, the, you know, the frustration, you know, having to deal with challenges. So these are all just great skills, you know, to be able to develop, you know, they're human skills. And so golf does give us an opportunity to be able to develop those skills. And that's why I think it's great for younger players, you know, to be getting into, you know, playing competitive golf, you know, fairly early and dealing with learning how to cope with pressure and adversity, you know, the game's highs and lows. And so, yeah, great. And body language and self-talk as well. So, you know, how you're communicating with yourself, and, you know, how your posture and, you know, demeanor, facial expressions, all these little things can increase confidence and help you play better.
Try smiling when you're not feeling good. Just smile. Just smile. All of a sudden, hey, I don't feel as bad as I did just a minute ago or a second ago. So how can I develop my mental skills for golf with your help? David McKenzie, Golf State of Mind. What do I need to do?
Well, you can visit Golf State of Mind. I've got a free that mental game scorecard template is a free download. It's on any of the articles on the website. If you go in there and sign up, you'll get access to that, and that can kind of help keep you accountable to your process and to those other things that we talked about today, the staying present, body language, self-talk, strategy, nutrition, you know, hydration, those kinds of things that all the elite players are able to do. I've got plenty of digital products that I've created over the years, audios and ebooks, from my experiences of working as a mental coach for the last 10 years with all levels of player. And then I do one-on-one coaching. So I've got those are options. If you visit the website, you can find out about those. We do have some golf schools coming up throughout the winter in Florida. We've got one at Plantation Preserve, which is near Miami, January 2nd and 3rd of the new year. We have one in TPC Tampa, which is January 22nd, I believe. But if anyone wants to follow me on Twitter at Golf State of Mind, I'm about to upload a link to all those upcoming golf schools throughout the winter.
Excellent. That's at Golf State of Mind, just like the website, golfstateofmind.com. But you can follow on Twitter at Golf State of Mind. And do you still, I just noticed the 15-minute free consultations. Do you book for those still on the website?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I do. So that's a great way for me to be able to find out about a player and, you know, how they think and explain how one-on-one coaching with me works.
Excellent. David McKenzie, golfstateofmind.com. Thank you so much for being on the show with me.
Thank you, Danielle. Have a good day.
You too. We're going to come back and talk about a show that we've got a brand new driver on the market. And maybe you've heard of Driver versus Driver. Well, John Barba is with us from My Golf Spy to talk to us about that right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Join our The Golf Club Listeners Tour. The Golf Club September 19th, 2019 week-long tour presented by Fairways and Fun Days, the UK's 2016, 2017, 2018 award-winning Ireland's best inbound premier golf tours. Your VIP tour includes golf at some of Ireland's top courses and resorts, including the fabulous K Club, best golf in Ireland, a personal caddy at Ballybunion and majestic Waterville, traveling in luxury vans, fine Irish dining, the pubs and the famous pub lunches, and of course, breakfasts fit for champions. Tour the towns, the shops, the castles, and the places that make an Irish golf getaway a life adventure. Visit our website, radiogolfclub.com. Find out more about the Golf Club's September golf getaway with Fairways and Fun Days.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
You know how we always save the best for last, like the golf ball giveaways? Well, today we've got two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay for the ninth caller to win. That's right, two rounds, Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai, and the number to call, you have to call and be the ninth caller. It's 808-546-5675. 546-5675. Put an 808 in front of it if you're calling from the Big Island, Maui, or Kauai. John Barba is My Golf Spy staff writer and forum director. And the show was Driver versus Driver. This is season number two. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. You know, it does have the pace of a glacier.
You've watched, eh?
Well, yes, one must check these things out, you know, and it's all just a little bit staged, but I do love the passion of the guys who are bringing the product, their driver, their creation, and I marvel. I say, where did they make this? I mean, where do you just, you know, 22-year-old college kid put something together and then creates this driver head that's very complicated? Where do they construct it?
Well, my experience is everybody seems to have their own ideas about golf clubs and what's good, what's bad. Pretty much the contestants that made it to the final 13, which is where the show started, were either industrial designers, they had some engineering backgrounds, they've designed products for other sports. There was a bowling ball designer among the original 13. So these are folks that probably think a little bit differently than normal people, in that they'll look at something and try to figure out ways to make it better or different, or what if I were to do this. I can't think that way. My brain doesn't function in those terms, but these are people that just have a completely unique perspective on the things that they hold in their hands and that they use. So, you know, those ideas kind of come from whatever inspiration. Evan Hoffman, for example, the gentleman that his driver was the winning driver, his inspiration came from motorcycle design, using that fast infrastructure kind of thing. I forget the name of it, but the titanium frame and all the composite material around it, carbon fiber material around it. It again, they think differently, and they have a very unique insight into how things work.
Do they bring their design to Wilson, and then Wilson builds what they've thought of, or do they have to bring the finished product in?
Oh, it starts out as a prototype, as an idea. Wilson, way, way back, I'm going to say almost a year and a half ago, maybe longer, they put out the word that they were doing season two of Driver versus Driver, and they invited anybody who wanted to submit their idea for a driver. The first season, I was part of a group that applied, and I think we got laughed out of the building.
oh, darn.
Well, you know, looking at some of the stuff, I could see why. But they pick what they think are interesting ideas, and then the contestants work kind of hand in glove with Wilson staff R&D to take the design as far as it can go. One of the three finalists, who his driver was the Magnus, he was one of the guys who was steadfast as, no, this is my idea, this is my creation, I want to take it as far as I could go. And he kind of rejected a lot of input from tour pros and from engineering experts, from Wilson's staff, and ultimately that was his downfall. I think the fact that he made it to the final three was pretty doggone impressive, but it just was not. I think my opinion is they viewed it as a driver that just looked too unusual and too different to be actually sellable.
Got it. And this driver versus driver winner, Evan Hoffman's design, he took home $250,000. You know, that's a nice payday, is the Cortex. And you wrote that Wilson's calling it the best testing driver Wilson's ever produced.
Right, that's what Tim Clark, the president of Wilson Golf, said. And we tested it ourselves at our test center in Virginia. Sam Robinson, who's our director of testing, tested the Cortex up against his gamer, which was a Ping G400 LST. which was also the My Golf Spy most wanted driver for 2018. It came out at top of the heap of our internal testing that we do every year. By all accounts, a superior driver. And the and Sam's reaction was, this can hang.
Wow.
I mean, it competed very favorably. I think the difference was a couple yards, couple 3 yards overall, comparing the Wilson to the Ping. And the Ping was Sam's gamer that had been fit for him. He had an even flow shaft in that. The Cortex was the stock version Fujikura Atmos blue shaft in it, which they're very similar shafts, but it hadn't been custom fit to his needs specifically. This was pulling it out of the box. Let's see what it'll do. I think that's fairly remarkable.
That is. I also think that, sound has really reached, and feel, of course, always, and mm-hmm. the look, look down at the driver. You better like what you're looking at. otherwise you don't feel like playing with it. Everything about how it looks and how the sound, even though we hear it way after it's been struck, it doesn't really mean anything except that it makes you feel confident. But apparently, when you were, and this is all what I've gleaned from your article about it, speed, ball speed coming off the Cortex, gave it the edge over the competitor Roswell.
Right. Yeah. It did have superior ball speed numbers, and that when they interviewed the tour players, Kevin Streelman, Brandon Steele, Troy Merritt, and others, that was the thing tour players tend to look at is ball speed. They can manipulate the ball to do whatever they want, but if you don't have the ball speed, that puts them at an immediate disadvantage. So they very much like the ball speed off of the Cortex. The one that finished second, the Roswell, was an interesting design in that, if you saw any of the episodes, it had that weird-looking Z-track
yes.
to move the weight around.
Yes.
It was an interesting idea, but I spoke with some of the Wilson R&D people afterwards, and they said it was an interesting idea, but they just couldn't make it, so it couldn't manufacture it, so that movable weight was meaningful. The weight of the track system. And I learned this from our own Tony Covey, who is, in my opinion, the best golf writer in the business, who works for My Golf Spy. He said that the weight of that track system, was so heavy that it offset any of the benefits you could get by moving the weight around. And that's just a manufacturing and materials issue. The concept was still sound, but you just couldn't pull it off.
That's interesting. Is there a point at which, through this incredible R&D that goes on in the world of golf, that one day they could pull it off?
You never say never. I mean, 30 years ago, when I was a lad, who would have thought we would have been playing with carbon fiber and titanium? I mean, I was hitting a persimmon wood,
Yes.
Who knows?
And what you wrote, too, is one of the key changes that was made to the Cortex between episode 6 and the finale was to use less titanium and more carbon fiber. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
These R&D people think on a different planet than most normal folks, and they can figure that stuff out and make it durable, get the sound right, get the feel right, but also make sure it performs. And that's, to me, that stuff's kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
Right now, it's like 44% of the volume is the titanium and is carbon fiber. There's a lot of carbon fiber in that thing.
So My Golf Spies, Sam and Adam, both tested the Cortex and the Roswell?
Yeah, they were both part of a social media group of testers that were on episode 5, and they tested those two plus two others.
Which ones did they like?
They both liked the Cortex. Both came out of that saying they thought the Cortex would ultimately be the winner. Now the Cortex changed an awful lot from their session. To the final one when the first time they'd seen it, the final one was when they unboxed it on Wednesday. So they were both kind of amazed at how much it had evolved and turned into a really nice looking driver. But they both felt the Cortex was the best performer and would be the one that might in fact be the best driver Wilson's ever introduced in the modern era. Sam liked the look of the Roswell and thought, millennials might be something that they would pick off the shelf and take a look at because it looked very cool. It was a really nice looking driver, but both felt very strongly that the Cortex was the premier it was the premier entry.
And the cool, the catchphrase you're probably going to hear when Wilson, do they use fast cage technology?
Fast cage, that's the word. I couldn't think of it. Really. Yeah. Okay. Well, Rescue, what the phrase, the catchphrase they're using right now is let your driver do the thinking.
Oh.
Which I'm not entirely sure what that means, but you know.
Okay.
The way I golf, the less I think, the better I do. So I
yeah, maybe we better let the driver do the thinking, but that's a little confusing for me. So fast cage technology, sliding weight technology, dial in your spin, your launch, fade or draw, switching the 2 and 8 gram weights between the heel and the toe positions. All of those things are available with this Cortex that Wilson is going to be promoting heavily. It's a $499 driver.
Yes, it is.
Is it? I mean, I was wondering. So, how much do they, does driver versus driver cost Wilson Golf to produce, the advertising, the production, the prize money, the promotion of the victorious club, and then $499? Does that cover the costs?
I don't think it does, and I don't think it's meant to. I wrote an article many months ago, just as when driver versus driver was premiering, that driver versus driver isn't about the driver. I mean, it is, yeah, but in the broader sense, driver versus driver isn't about the driver. It's a branding exercise for Wilson Golf and Wilson Sporting Goods. As you know, back in the old days, Wilson was the premier manufacturer of golf equipment all through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and into the 90s. I mean, if you played Wilson staff, you were playing the best there was. That devolved over the years, and they're trying to get back into that premium golf space. Their irons for the past 5 to 7 years have been as good as anybody's. There's no denying that. They've struggled in the metal woods category. They've had some good stuff, good drivers, but nothing exceptional. So this is a branding exercise first and foremost to get more people to think of Wilson staff in that premium golf space. And from that vantage point, in my opinion, it is a success. There are more people talking about Wilson Golf today than there were this time 5 years ago. So to me, that's the important part. It's about branding. Tim Clark told me prior to the episode about the first season is their analytics told them that more people had a positive impression of Wilson Golf as a premium supplier of golf equipment after the show than before, which is why they decided to do it again. So to me, that's the point behind Wilson, behind driver versus driver. It's a branding exercise, and we won't know the effectiveness of it for probably 3 to 5 years. So it's not a direct, the cost of this has to be made up by the driver. To me, that doesn't equate.
Right on. John Barba, always good talking with you. My Golf Spy, check him out. Staff writer, mygolfspy.com. Just go there. John, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. And can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
What's the weather like out there?
It's rainy, windy, but, you know, it's gorgeous. You'll find some place to find some sun, I think. I'm trying to look around.
Well, I'm looking outside. It's snow in New Hampshire, so grumble.
Oh, no, come to Hawaii. Just hop on that jet. Come on down.
I think I might volunteer for the Century Tournament of Champions.
Yes. Well, have you. Come on, shot link it. Okay, John Barba, aloha.
Thank you.
The Golf Club is made possible by these great people at Futura Stone, Creative Plumbing, and welcome to our new sponsor, Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, just call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. It's Creative Plumbing. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, your home project into artwork. And they specialize in natural stones, in Brazilian quartzite flagstone, in the AquaPave, on-site stormwater source control systems, interlocking concrete pavers, Roman stack walls. Futura Stone. Only the best. And thank you, Poipu Bay Golf Course, for making it possible for us to give, drum roll please, the winner, John Worthwine from Kauai, 2 rounds of golf. And thank you, Bridgestone Golf, for giving us golf balls to give to our winners. And by the way, our winner last week, your golf balls are definitely en route. I just haven't gotten, they're in their priority mail envelope. I haven't forgotten you. You will get them early next week. If you'd like to play a round of golf, I've got some late tee times. The Kahili course has a 12 o'clock, and Shane Victorino is having his tournament at the Gold Course, and he raises money for great people, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Makalei has a 10:30. Kauai Lagoons has a 10:20. Kapalua has a 10:20 and a 9:28. And you can play where the winners of the PGA Tour are going to be playing come the first week in January. And it's going to be quite the event because we've got a very, very impressive number of European Tour players coming to play Century Tournament of Champions. If you can volunteer, great. Sony Open in Hawaii follows the next week. They also looking for assistance. They're looking for anyone who'd like to volunteer for Sony Open in Hawaii, so do get in touch. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.